Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Kimberly Senna-Moore,
Rachel Rambach,
and Michelle Erfurt.
We are three board-certified music therapists who are passionate about our work and feel we have something to say. Join us each month as we share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy and working as a music therapist. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, I am dying to know. It's Thursday. It's a Thursday after Labor Day. And Rachel, you had your very first day back on Tuesday. How did it go?
It was awesome, which, you know, I knew it would be. But at the same time, I had lots and lots of nerves going into it, leading up to it. And mostly they were all unfounded because Parker was in awesome hands while I was working, and all of my students are wonderful, so I was excited to see them, and they were excited to be back. So it was just great, you know, knowing that Parker was just a couple rooms away and that it was just a few hours. It felt really good to be back into the swing and, you know, using my brain and all of the things that I haven't done the last 3 months. So it went really well. And then the best part was when I was finished, then I got to see my baby again.
Good. I am so happy. And welcome back to work. And what were you most nervous about?
I think it wasn't as much leaving the baby because, you know, we've left him, you know, from time to time to go out to dinner and things like that. But it was mostly just, you know, getting back to work, because 3 months off is a long time. And I was afraid that, you know, I'd forgotten how to do certain things and just kind of forgotten, you know, the flow that you get into when you work. And honestly, it was like riding a bike. It just kind of all came back to me. And while I was doing it, it just felt so good and so familiar. And I had nothing to be nervous about.
Oh, that's what. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes.
Music therapy is an effective treatment for people of all ages. Usually, music therapists are specialized based on the population of the person. Some of those populations include people diagnosed with intellectual delays, hospital patients, early intervention or school-age children, folks receiving hospice care, individuals diagnosed with psychiatric needs, and people living in assisted living or long-term care. Lots of different populations. But what about combining these populations together? Well, Joanne Jordan is a pioneer in this area of intergenerational music therapy groups. These are groups that include both children and older adult participants. So in this edition of the Music Therapy Roundtable, our guest Joanne Jordan is here, and she will tell us about her work with intergenerational music therapy groups. Before we say hello to Joanne, let me share her bio with you all. Joanne is a board-certified music therapist with a passion for intergenerational groups, which is why she's here with us. With over 30 years as a music therapist and 25 years of working in senior living communities, she brings a wealth of experiences to share. And in August of 2009, she started Music Sparks to provide a music therapy and enrichment service for the young and old in and around Hayes, Kansas. Joanne started her blog, Music Sparks, which you can find at www.music2spark.com. In November of 2009, and this website offers resources for caregivers of young and old. Even more ideas are available through her twice a month free newsletter called Bright Ideas. And I don't know if you noticed, but Eddie is very excited about Joanne's work.
And as we now, welcome to the show, yes. Joanne.
Yes, welcome, Joanne.
Now, hey. The Music Sparks website also has resources that helps you step into intergenerational programming. Along with her intergenerational blog posts, you will find a 5 Steps to Fired Up Intergenerational Programs section, which walks you through this formation process. She even has an ebook called Sparking Lives with Themes and Music, and it was made to speed up your preparation of creating your own intergenerational programs. And from now until November 1st, 2013, $5 of each book purchase is being given to the American Music Therapy Association. Fantastic. So, finally, welcome to the show, Joanne.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
All right, so I'm going to jump in here with the first question, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. Joanne, what is an intergenerational music therapy group?
It is, very simply, a purposeful group comprised of people of various ages.
And various ages, meaning it could be like children and adolescents, children, adults, young. Are there any common makeups that we find within our generational music therapy groups?
No, I would say you find a lot that are college age and elders in senior living communities. You also find them even school age children with retirees. So there's not really a single definition. When I've done research, it can be any age mix.
Huh. How did you come up with the idea of offering an intergenerational group?
Well, the first time around, I was living in Florida and was working as an activity director at a nursing facility, and we were blessed to have a school across the street. And usually the kids would come over and do the typical music class performances and things like that, and the residents always loved it. And they asked me about getting the kids to come over more often. And I had a couple teachers I had become friends with. And we established a program where third through fifth graders came over, and I had 2 to 3 classes a week that came over and did everything from bingo to volleyball to bowling to taking people for walks, you name it. We did all kinds of crazy things together. And I really knew that that worked well. And it was fun to watch the relationships form. So when I came to live in Hays and started working in a assisted living here in town, I wanted to do something that was similar, but I also knew that I liked working with young children. And the facility also was wanting me to be part of the marketing program. So I developed an intergenerational program of preschoolers in the community coming with their caregivers to our facility. And that was basically where the program came from.
Wow. And you talked about, you know, you briefly talked about some of the benefits you see from these intergenerational groups. Can you expand on that? I mean, what, you know, in music therapy, we commonly, it's, you know, we work from a goal, but I could see how there would be some really diverse goals when you're working with multiple age groups at the same time. So is this something that, you know, you go in with a certain goal or intention, or is it something that evolves more organically, or even has that shifted for you as you have developed these kind of programs?
I guess I always sort of keep the benefits in mind and definitely have certain goals and purposes in mind. I know that for the seniors in the senior living communities, I see a big change in social interaction. It tends to increase. I tend to notice people have a much more large active range of motion and don't complain as much about pain and discomfort. It provides a lot of mental stimulation. There are a lot of purposeful activities that can come out of that program where the seniors can be part of the preparation or the planning for future sessions. There are definitely benefits for the children too. They get a lot more individualized attention just from the seniors in the group. A lot of it is school readiness, learning to take turns. They are my hands and feet in the group, and they are the ones that take the instruments and the equipment around to all the singers and clean everything up for me. And the parents are always amazed that their 18-month-old will clean up for them.
I get it.
They don't do it at home, but they'll do it in the group for the grandfriends. And I tend to have a lot of times for just creative process. And it's just sort of fun to watch the kids have a chance to be creative in a group.
I'm curious, Joanne, was it intimidating at all working with two such different age-ranged groups of people at first?
I guess I didn't necessarily find it intimidating. I just sort of used the best of everything that I knew from my experiences with the two groups separately.
Okay.
To sort of jump in and try things. And if it didn't work, I just tried not to lose sleep over it.
Right.
And if it did work, I tried to do more of it.
Yeah. And how long, so you said that you were initially approached by an assisted living facility, right?
Right. I was working there as the activity person.
Okay. And so how long have you been doing these intergenerational groups? Because this is a term and a concept that at least I've only been aware of for the past couple of years. And you seem like one of the pioneers in facilitating these kind of groups. So I'm kind of, curious as to how this developed for you. You know, how did you learn how to do this?
Right. I started probably about 8 years ago as far as doing the preschoolers and the older adults together with the music focus. Actually, I would think the pioneer would be Joan Shaw. There's a book called Musical Bridges that she did with, I think it's Karna Mathy.
Oh, yeah, I have that book, actually.
And so I had sort of looked at that book, and I knew about the book, and it was more single session type format. And I wanted to do things that had more repeats with the same groups of people so that more relationships could evolve. So I sort of took those kind of ideas and just expanded them.
So Joanne, for someone who's never done any type of intergenerational music therapy before, what are some tips that you might offer?
Well, the first tip I would offer is first figure out what ages you're going to include, because that's really going to inform everything else that you do. And I mean, I know that's obvious, but it really does make a difference to be very intentional and see who's done work in that area, because there's a lot of intergenerational resources out there.
Have you personally experimented with different age groups together?
As I said, I did the school age programming, not around music, but I always included music. I mean, how can you not if you're a music therapist?
Right.
But, only I could include music in bingo, but it works. But trying to think how to put this. I've done school age and I've done the preschoolers with their parents. And that's where I've done most of my work, just because I haven't had access regularly to groups of teens. I've been able to do some single events with just teenagers, but not anything as long term.
So you started with this idea and you brought in the school age children. Do you remember a moment where you kind of went, wow, there's really something to this? You know, what kind of triggered you to keep going? Was there a certain experience, session, what person?
I would say when we got to the second or third month of doing the programming, one of the teachers commented to me that one of the boys in her classroom had a lot of behavioral and learning issues in the classroom, but that he was such a model of how to interact and how to engage and how to be helpful when he would be over at the nursing home, that she started to see him in a totally different light.
That, I just got goosebumps hearing that. Wow.
That is so cool.
So I think knowing that when we put ourselves and put our youth in different situations, that they gain different experiences and can develop and show different abilities, that we're giving them a wealth of ability and information. And I think that was what made me want to continue doing this. And I also saw from the senior side just how much we need that input of other generations. Not there are things we get from our peer groups that are wonderful, but we also need that from other generations.
Yeah, and okay, now sorry, my apologies up front. This is the PhD brain in me now going, because you know, there's been a shift culturally in our society where you used to have a lot more of that intergenerational contact, because you'd have multiple generations living in the same, at least the same town, if not even the same house. And so you'd have that village, so to speak, around you to help raise the children and to help engage the older adults. So this is almost in some ways kind of a micro recreation of that kind of concept, where there is that learning and that engagement across generations.
Well, the interesting thing I've learned over the last year is actually there's been a larger move to having grandparent suites or having grandparents move across the street from families. There's much more of that happening, even special floor plans of houses being developed for those kinds of situations here in the United States, which I think is just really cool. But even if you have that, there's something you get when it's not your relative, when it's not required of the relationship. I mean, people always love their grandchildren, but they really also savor those relationships that they develop with children that they're not related to.
Yeah. So during the course of our little talk this morning, you brought up the book Musical Bridges. And of course, your website, you put out a lot of great information that Michelle talked about earlier, resources for starting your own intergenerational group, et cetera. Do you have any other resources, books, what have you, that if somebody is interested in learning more about this, go to your website, get that book, Musical Bridges. Do you have any other resources you would recommend?
Yes. The first is Music Therapy and Geriatric Populations. And that you can get through AMTA. There is a whole section on intergenerational programming in that book. And it is wonderful, and it's very well laid out and easy to use. And then the second, of course, is the book that I created as a resource for people wanting to do preschool and older adults.
Joanne, I really, really appreciate you being on the show to talk about this. This is something I don't know a whole lot about, but it seems like such a valuable model that can be utilized in a bunch of different contexts and a bunch of different places.
It is. And I'm even thinking, you know, with some of the early childhood music groups that I do, a lot of times the grandparents will bring their young grandchildren, and it's so much fun to see the interaction between that pair versus the child and the parent. So, you know, I'm not getting the full experience that you're getting, but just getting that little taste of it, you know, makes me really interested in the work that you do. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Well, thank you.
And for our listeners out there, we're actually going to be chatting with Joanne a bit longer, and she will share more tips for starting your own intergenerational music therapy group over on our premium site, Music Therapy Pro. This conversation is only available to the pro community, who also have access to a members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, and discounts with select members. CMTE courses are also available to community members at no additional charge. At Music Therapy Pro, we've done the hard work already. Now we're sharing our secrets with you. Join the community at www.musictherapypro.com.
Now it's time for our cool resource of the month, and that is Joanne Jordan's wonderful ebook called Sparking Lives with Themes and Music. This is something that you can get on Joanne's website, which is www.music2sparks.com. Joanne, will you just tell us about your book, Sparking Lives with Themes and Music?
Certainly. It is a resource, and I purposely did it as an ebook so that when you go to do your session plans, you can just simply play copy and paste and pull together what you want out of the book. There are tons of songs. There are singable books. There are books related to the various themes. There are adult songs that are easy for children to sing or that you can create simple visuals for the children to be able to sing along. There is just a wealth of information and other sites in the book. So I just put this all together and it's taken from my sessions. So I know the stuff works. And from now until November 1st, I'm giving $5 of each to MTA.
Joanne, that's great. So to have a resource that is functional, it's kind of some tried and tested applications and experiences. So thank you for putting that together. I'm excited to list it as a cool resource this month.
Well, thank you.
And now it's time for our monthly shout out to our Pro Perk partners. This month we have a new perk to add, and that is music therapy mailings. This is the brainchild of Rachel C., a music therapist in Austin, Texas, and she is offering a 20% discount on music therapy mailings, which is a monthly subscription service that sends products, instruments, and session ideas via brown paper packages tied up in strings, which I'm sure you get that reference, to your doorstep each month. Every box is personally catered to the subscriber's needs. And in addition to music therapy mailings, we also have our discounts from Mr. and Mrs. Marketing, Wholesome Harmonies, A Perfect Lullaby, the Music Therapy Research Blog, Boom Totes, Listen and Learn Plus, and Music Therapy Maven.
And one announcement, I feel like I'm kind of cheating with this announcement because it's, I don't know, not really an announcement about us, but just something I think is kind of cool. I did my internship at Music Works of California in San Diego, and this is a private practice that was founded and is run by the fabulous Barbara Royer. And this year, Barbara is celebrating the 15th anniversary of her music therapy internship program. So I just wanted to send a congratulations to Barbara. They're doing a bunch of things to help celebrate, including interviewing alumni. And so I was interviewed yesterday, and I'm really excited to see the video. I actually had to, you know, get dressed up. I'm used to doing audio recordings. This was a video one. So anyway, congratulations, Barbara. 15 years. It's a great internship site. And I am proud to be an alumnus of it.
And for our Sunday Success, today's Sunday Success comes from Courtney Brent Fiddle, our Music Therapy Pro member, who says, I hired a new employee to take over for my maternity leave, which is coming up October 1st, and he will be staying on after I come back because we are getting so busy. So congratulations, Courtney, on your new employee, your growing business, and your upcoming bundle of joy.
Thank you for joining us. To read a transcript of the show, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com, where you will also find links to each of our personal blogs. You can get podcast episodes sent directly to you by subscribing to the Music Therapy Roundtable through iTunes. And if you enjoy our podcast, please write an iTunes review. It helps our ranking, which allows us to reach more people like you. If you have a comment or a question, email us at info@musictherapyroundtable.com. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk again next month.